listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Because Rod and Karen are hot.
Somewhere this shit done got crazy. Y'all just been driving Miss Daisy with my hands on the steering wheel and my eyes on the pavement. I give a fuck about what they went. I owe my lawyer a payment. They talking about no arraignment. Now I wonder where the rain went. I just been all in my mind. Homies tell me I'm stressing. I've been counting what's on my bucket list and not on my blessings. I think it's time for a lesson. Hold up, you better pay attention. I can end up like my mama popping antidepressants. My therapist think I'm crazy. Well, shit, she probably does. All the stress that I'm under, I wonder why I don't do drugs. Raised in a household full of killers and thugs. Shit, I've been down so long, don't know who I was, but I know who I am. Yes, I know who I is. Please pardon my grandma Daisy vibing with this. I just be driving. Bum, bum. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen.
That's right, Gambino the realest. This flow made me kill it. Oh well, her feet to the ceiling. She said that she loved me. So it's the Blackout Tips feedback show. You guys know how we do. Saturday mornings we get up and we realize that you guys had a lot to say. Mm-hmm. And we respond to the things that you had to say to us. I mean, it seems like a fairly simple transaction. I mean, how could we possibly mess something this simple up? Let's find out. Of course, you can go to the blackouttips.com, leave feedback, vote in the polls. Become a premium member at theblackouttips.com/premium. By the way, Rapid Fees finally got back to me. The password stuff should be fixed by next Friday, they said. Mm-hmm. So until then, I've just taken all the password protection off of the feeds. So y'all just out there getting, you know, just free premium all over the place. Happy Thanksgiving, you know. But
happy
soon as they fix it, I will shut that shit down. No exceptions, okay?
enjoy it while you can.
Taking it like a champ. But yeah, so you guys enjoy it, man. Of course, you can also do stuff like email the show, theblackouttips@gmail.com. You can do stuff like give us a voicemail, as long as it's 3 minutes or less, 704-557-0186. And you can leave us 5-star reviews on iTunes and Stitcher. Why wouldn't you want to do that already, guys? Come on, please. Of course, the official weapon of the show is
the taser,
and the unofficial sport
is bullet ball
and bullet ball extremo. And today we have a guest choir that's gonna give us the word. I found a song. We can just play the regular song. Sorry. Sing it, Frank. Kirk Franklin.
I dedicate this song.
Got the home choir back
to recession, depression, and unemployment.
Yes, all my homies. Recession, depression, and unemployment. What up, dog? Under Trump's America.
What?
Let's see who's donating this week. Alexis H for current donation. Thank you, Alexis. Michelle P recurring donator. Thank you, Michelle. Mm-hmm. David from Brooklyn recurring donator. Thank you, Dave.
Brooklyn.
Ricky A recurring donator. Pretty Rick, what to call him. Film Press Comics recurring donation. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Got a one-time donation from Celeste M, who says longtime lurker of Rod's Twitter timeline, which led me to the show. It's a life preserver of sanity in a sea of craziness. We'll send more and plan to go premium soon so I can access years of back episodes I missed. Thanks, Rod and Karen, for all that you do. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Pete B recurring donator. Thank you, Pete. Our girl Olivia from Chicago. The lawyer, you know her. Renata M recurring donator. Thank you, Renate. Anthony Van D recurring donator. Thank you very much. Jamar D recurring donator. Thank you.
Yes.
Of course, you guys all know Bomani Jones. Many of you heard us through Bomani Jones. Well, he's a donator as well. He believe. Nicholas Z recurring donator. Thank you, Nick.
Thank you.
Rita May C recurring donator. Thank you, Rita May. Rock from the Black Astronauts Podcast Network. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Monica B, recurring donator. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Connor K, recurring donation. Thank you very much. Or as the Crips say, Bonner K.
Oh, Lord.
Adam S, recurring donator. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Katie G, recurring donator. Thank you, Katie. Jason J, recurring donator. Thank you.
Thank you. Is she related to Kenny G?
I don't know. Maybe. Katie G is his sister. Kalaf Kalafani G says, keep up the great work, keep preaching it, one time donation. Thank you very much, Kalani. We appreciate you putting thank in on this you. On this sermon right here. Chriselle M, recurring donator, thank you so much. Who reminded me that if you got UVerse, all 450, the 450 package is free this month. This weekend. So get out there and get the recording those shows, guys, because they can't delete it off the DVR. You know what I'm saying?
No, they can't.
Get all the shows, the Skinamax,
the Insecure, everything. Record them all on that DVR. Have a good time.
Nerds and Luxury, hit the recurring donation. Thank you, you luxurious ass nerd.
Thank you.
Justin J, recurring donator. Thank you. Asia D, recurring donator. Thank you, Asia. Mm-hmm. Latanya D, recurring donator. No relation. Candace H, recurring donation. And, that's it. Play me out, Kurt.
You look so much better when you're
so much better when you're
and why you praying?
You look so much better when you're
look in the mirror.
You look so much better when you're
always remember.
You look so much better when you smile.
Almost gave up.
I can't explain.
Holy Ghost power.
All right.
Let's get into these 5-star reviews. Okay, guys, you left them. I know you want to hear us read them. You know, the ones who left them. Nichelle MPH says, the best out there, 5 stars. This review is long overdue. I was tired of holding my head down in shame every week whenever Karen would remind us to post our 5-star review. This is by far the best podcast out there. There are so many that I appreciate. There are so many things that I appreciate about Rod and Karen. I don't know where to start. From their hilarious rapport to their insightful take on the day's hot topics. The TBGWT is a welcome addition to my daily commute. I work full time and I'm also a part time grad student, so I'm sorry I can't go premium yet. Hopefully in the near future. Whenever I listen to an episode, I feel like you've opened up doors to us, and I thank you guys for that. This has been a tough year, and whenever I was down, I would always find myself listening to the Blackout Tips to help cheer me up. Thank you and love you guys for that. Keep up the great work. Aww.
Thank you.
Thanks, Nichelle, and thank you for leaving the 5-star review. And I know not everyone can go premium and all that stuff, but leaving a review is a easy, inexpensive way to help out. And like I said, moves us up the charts. When people click on podcasts and they're like, should I listen to this one? 1,000 reviews, most of them are positive. Okay. Better than 5 stars, D-Day 61 says, this is my second rating of Karen and Rod's podcast. The husband and wife podcast dynamic duo have continued to improve since my last 5-star review a few years ago. I'm a 55-year-old man who never misses an episode of the free or premium podcast. Well, that's what I'm talking about. With some upside down events occurring in our world, I can't wait to hear their opinion with their injection of comedy. I needed to get through my day. While obeying their rule of approaching current events with comedy first rule, this team will keep you informed while laughing at the absurdity of current daily events. It's satisfying to know that this team is getting the recognition they deserve, specifically by the magazine Ebony. Yep. What's up in there? As I said in a previous review, check them out. If you already got the free podcast, get the premium and support them and the podcasting format. They are the best of the best podcasters. Thank you. Yeah, someone I saw thank today you, on Twitter, people were saying like it was Support a Small Business Day, but then I was like, I never really talk about it because I never know if that's like a day for real, because I feel like it's several of those days every year where people say like today is Support a Small Black Business, and I'm like, but it was that day 3 weeks ago. So I appreciate the people that are out there spreading that word, and yes, and the people that mention us when they talk about it. Mm-hmm. Another review just for being around, 5 stars by TQLER1234. Well, I've already left a review before, but there's no limit on reviews, so why not leave another one? Thanks for being around. I am studying abroad in Spain right now. And, oh, what's her name? No, I'm just kidding, buddy. Just a little joke between us two. You guys know how it is. I am studying abroad in Spain right now, and during the time we didn't have internet, I survived on the blackout test. This podcast is the shiz. I'm missing being around my people lately, and listening to Rod and Karen makes me feel better. The laughs are never ending. The point of views are refreshing, and if you like The Walking Dead, they review that too. I don't even watch that show, but I still listen to The Walking Dead reviews. To anyone thinking about giving them a listen, this podcast for all ages and backgrounds. Well, we are explicit. I'm a 22-year-old college student. I just want to see a review of Mona. Bitch ass, titties, dick. Fuck bitch. Cunt shit ass.
See? See, if you're underage, you ain't got no business here.
I'm a 22-year-old college student. I share this podcast with my friends, teachers, and older family members. Anyway, thanks again, guys. I wish you success and happiness. Monique, Lil Mo 02219. I'm sorry, 0219.
Thank you, baby.
Oh, you know, this isn't related to nothing, but, you know, y'all know I love Queen Sugar. I watch it every Thursday. Mm-hmm. While Karen just neglects to watch it. I really need to delete all that stuff off the DVR. I don't know why. It's just sitting on there. It's never going to be watched. No. At any rate, so the last episode, some dude was trying to get with Vi, and he looked kind of like Hollywood, and I was like, this old fake ass Hollywood, I'm going to call him Inglewood.
Not Inglewood.
And he retweeted it and was like, ha, that's good or something. And I was like, oh man, you doing, like, the actor who did, you know, okay. he retweeted it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh man, you doing such a good job on the show. Like, you're killing it, man. Like, just keep killing it. And he was like, oh man, that means a lot coming from you. I'm a fan of the black, you and Karen from way back since, The Morning Jones.
Wow.
Right? That's crazy.
Wow, it's a small world, man.
It really is a small world.
I know people say that, but you go, okay, it is this tiny world.
Yeah.
Cause you out here acting, being all professional and shit.
Yeah, man. That was, anyway, I just thought that was really cool, man. It's a real nice thing, you know, that happened.
Thank you, sweetie.
We got one 5-star review on Stitcher. Lola Birdie says, 5 stars, my favorite podcast. I blessed the day I found your podcast, Rod and Karen. 2016 has not been an easy year for me. Car accident, out on medical leave, but listening to you two daily has kept my spirits up. 5-star review for 5 people. I mean, for 5-star people. Bless you. Oh,
thank you.
That's so nice, Lola Birdie. That felt like a old lady came in and prayed on me or something. Like, oh baby, life has been so tough, but you guys. At any rate, thank you so much for all the 5-star reviews. Look, iTunes, Stitcher, keep leaving them, man. We love reading them. It helps the show out. I cannot stress it enough. And, you know, it doesn't take you, it shouldn't take that long. We don't care what you say as long as it's nice. Like, if it's one sentence, like, I just like this podcast. Hey, thank you for them 5 stars. Moving on up the charts, you know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, we never take that for granted, man. Thank you so much, guys.
Mm-mm. Yes. Before you move on, for those of you just listening and you know you haven't left for 5 stars or you want to leave a 5 stars, you don't know how to leave a 5 stars, to leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, go to any iOS device, go into your iTunes, tap into Blackout Who Tips. In the top left-hand corner, you'll see Write a Review. Click on it, leave us 5 stars and write a review. We will only read it if it's 5 stars and we approve of it. If you do not have any Apple or iOS device, you can actually create one through iTunes.com, create a iTunes account and leave us a review through there. And then after that, you can delete it. But before you do that, any other podcast that you love, leave them reviews too. Like, cause reviews do matter. To leave us a review on Stitcher's a little bit more complicated. To leave us a review on, Stitch Radio, actually Google The Black Guy Who Tips 5-star Stitcher reviews. It actually will take you straight to the site and you can click on the top, same thing, top left hand corner, and leave us a review through Stitcher. The only difference with Stitcher will actually email you. The system will send you an email confirmation. So if you've left us a review through Stitcher and you have not heard it read yet, check your junk mail because it may have sent it to junk mail. Once you confirm your email, Stitcher will post your review. But for those of you that have an iOS device, Stitcher allows you to leave a message in the iOS device itself. We don't see those reviews because those reviews, for some reason, don't actually post to the 5-star page.
There you
go. Thank you.
These will be in your morning announcements.
Govern yourself accordingly.
We got comments on the blackouttips.com. For some of them we don't have comments. Like our feedback show, we didn't have any comments. We did have a poll, which was, do you speak more than one language? Yes, no, or I can't even read this. You know, 47% of our audience speaks more than one language. That's a lot.
I can speak a little bit, but
no, okay. That don't count. By the way, if you put yourself as yes and you're not fluent in another language,
I got one.
Fuck
in
you.
English.
No, I'm not done talking. Fuck you if you said yes. You fucked up my scientific poll. I'm talking about people who are absolutely fluent in another language. If you just was like, I can say poquito Spanish. I can add O to the end of words.
No, it's your habla un poquito español, sir. That's how you say it.
Mm-hmm. But if you don't know all the words, you're like, oh, can you tell me what a car O is?
Then no, you don't count. No, don't, you definitely no. don't count.
32% said no, and 21% of my audience couldn't even understand this poll, but somehow knew to pick that option. Anyway, no comments. Then Mike Brown from the Comedy Outlaws is on the show, and we had episode 1327, Tyler Perry Presents Tubman, A Madea Revolution.
I can't wait for that movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming, y'all.
Mm-hmm. In 1326, the title was Negro Spiritual in Trump's America. Manuel L. says, what up, Rod and Karen? Rod, I have to disagree with you about saying Obama didn't fuck anybody in the Oval Office. Have you seen Michelle? I hear you, buddy. But I meant scandalous fucks. I meant he didn't fuck any interns. That's what I meant. Prof Corey says, it was hilarious how much Mike was sighing all loud and sounded seriously stressed out about his guest to race decisions. LOL. He was also pretty tickled by white people news.
Right, he was like, I don't, what is happening here?
Which is more dumb? Boycotting Starbucks by buying Starbucks, or boycotting Hamilton, which is sold out till 2017. That was the poll, and because that's what conservatives are doing. 70% of you guys said it's more dumb to boycott Starbucks by buying Starbucks, while 30% of y'all said boycotting Hamilton, which is sold out till 2017 already, is also pretty stupid.
It really is, but you ain't hurting them because your ass can't get no goddamn tickets.
Sierra J, aka Mom's Drags with Swag, Mom's Drag with Swag says, what the fuck? Once again, the white wrong wing feelings are hurt because theater, which is the most pro-liberal, pro-LGBTQ form of arts that we have in America,
right?
Because they boo Little Pansy. Oh, is you mad? Well, that's what the fuck you get. Prejudice is in this country is real, and you wiggers made it clear in this election that y'all have no plans changing that. So don't be pissed every time we remind you of your mistakes. White trash motherfuckers can't even afford tickets, let alone access them, but y'all homeless looking asses outside fake boycotting. Question, are you really boycotting, or y'all standing outside salty because you weren't invited to the party? White trash, the Meg of America, drops mic. She was mad. Whew. She must have just seen some footage of a boycott or something.
Yes, she's like, I know.
Right. Yeah, that was 5 days ago. She was like, I got to drop my hot 16 on these motherfuckers. Yeah, it's interesting because it's like y'all mad because a pro-LGBTQ space of right. Brown people rapping.
Come on, dog.
Rapping about a president, about politics of that time? What?
But don't bring politics in. What the fuck is about? The whole thing's about fucking politics. What are we talking about here?
EVE says, I hope before these morons who want to boycott Hamilton post their tickets online with the barcode showing, I'm not I'm not trying to wait another 2 years before I get to go see it. Right. I gotta wait for it to come to my town. Then I'm gonna buy some Starbucks and go up there.
Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm gonna buy Starbucks and I'm gonna say my name is Obama just to see what happens.
Say my name is Shell.
Mm-hmm. All right, we have episode 1328, Condiments of the World. Well, we had our girl Leslie of the Interracial John podcast on. Mm-hmm. Monica says, I was so torn when Rod started the top condiments list. The more exasperated and hopeless he sounded about getting through the whole list, the more I was rooting for Karen to just send everything crashing to the floor.
I almost knocked the table over. Me and Leslie was shaking the table. Mm. He was trying to get through it.
Mm. Anyway.
You got to let ignorance shine every now and then.
Got out the system.
Yes.
Okay. Just let me know when it's okay to move on.
You can't move on.
All right. She says, rooting for Karen to just send everything crash to the floor with her interruptions. It was so damn funny. On the other hand, I still wanted to hear the list and Karen's reactions to each condiment. Regarding banana sauce, Karen, is it spicy? Rod, Karen, I've never tried. I don't know. LOL. Thanks to Leslie for the honest review of Vegemite. I've seen it in supermarkets here in New York. I'll pass. Thumbs up for this segment. Thanks. Mm-hmm. Gotta give you the latest in condiment news. Come on.
Thank you. And before we move on, I just got my Run Dressy Run shirt that me and Leslie had got together, and she had did the design on Teespring. Mm-hmm. So if you ordered your Run Dressy Run shirt, you should have it within the next few days. I'm excited. I got mine on right now.
And I think her safety pin box, mm-hmm, with Marissa, I think their site is about to be up in 7 days,
yeah,
I think.
In a few days, yep.
So, and they got like a Facebook group, mm-hmm, and everything. So if you white and you some type of ally and you want to help out, they trying to help you help. You know, mm-hmm, white people are always talking about, I don't know how to help people. I would like to do something. And mm-hmm, they have like a whole layout over there. Eve says, I've tried Vegemite and it's straight up trash. It tastes like salty dirt. Sorry, Wonga. This condiment segment had me rolling, and Karen's reactions were priceless. And the poll was, will Facebook ever fix their fake news problems? 97% of my audience thinks they will not. Mm-mm. Karen thinks not either.
Nope, ran by white men. They don't give a fuck.
3% say yes. I don't know if they will or not, man. I don't know how you fix it. It's a world made of human beings, and gullible, stupid human beings at that, you know? So I don't know if they'll fucking, yeah, I don't know, guys. They seem to have the wherewithal to, or the inclination to fix it, but they just started thinking about fixing it, you know? And that's only in the wake of Trump winning that they went, oh yeah, I guess it's bad that people were misinformed and we were a big part of that. We'll see, you know? We had episode 1329, Give Trump a Chance to Do What? Bamil 73 says, truth be told, Kanye getting hospitalized is a good thing in the aggregate. It ostensibly means that he is getting treatment for any mental health issues he may have. Even casual observers could tell that he has been spiraling towards this eventuality for a while. And with all the stigma in our community about mental health, this can only be positive, unless you like music. Far be it from me to be in a position to want someone to not attend to their own self-care, but consider this. I listened to the gentleman's music since college dropout. I mean, who here can't relate to the concept, if my manager assaults me again, I will be assaulting him. Or the fact that because of Monster, I thought Nikki was a Monster MC. It made me believe she was an automobile gangster with a Tonka the color of Willy Wonka. If you notice the trend, as he spiraled further and further out of control, the music only got better, culminating in fact to that perfect manifestation of music, Ultralight Beam. I'm an atheist, and that song makes me want to pray. This is my part. This is my part, nobody else speak. My worry is that if he gets the help he needs, the music won't be as banging. Selfish, I know. Rod of the Black Guy with Tips probably thinks I'm a piece of shit. But Balls Deep and Pregame Rod knows what I'm talking about, wink. First of all, I've openly said that shit on this show. That ain't no secret. I've said it about Mary J, Eminem. It's a piece of shit way to feel about people, and that's part of what makes humanity fucked up, is that you look at these people who make such great art when they're tortured, and they capture these emotions and these feelings and these moments that we all universally can talk, can like kind of relate to, mm-hmm. but it also means to capture these moments, sometimes you have to be at your fucking worst.
Right.
And when they get their lives going better, yeah, the art may suffer because that's not as much of the extremes of what many people are attracted to in their art. Like most people like the art that influences and makes them feel those extreme things, you know, Kanye is, like I said, man, it's not even up for debate for me, man. That last album is like a masterpiece to me. I don't know. It's just, I still listen to it all, like at least a couple times a week, all the way through a couple times. Yeah, I still listen to it, but I mean, I don't relate to it on some like, that's how I be feeling, but it's just kind of like, oh yeah, I can, like, he was obviously going through a time. He's obviously talking about some real fucked up stuff, but you know, at any rate, I'm not so fucking far gone that I'm just like, fuck him, I hope he never gets help. Like if I can deal with not having any more dope ass Kanye albums, if that means he need to get help and that helps his life out. I mean, right. He's still a human being. He got children, he got a wife. I mean, you know, if something is really that wrong with him, and that's why, as far as mental health crisis issues, that he has to be committed, remanded to, you know, a facility. Yeah, man. I mean, it's better that he get help than not, you know? Like, I'm not a fucking psychopath. Like, do drugs, I don't care. Get on the crack. Like, I'm not evil. But yeah, I mean, you know, if you just happen to fall off the wagon and we get some dope music, okay, you know? I just don't have any illusions about the relationship between quote unquote celebrities and artists and us as consumers. It's, people try to cloud it like we know them and like we're friends with them, and we're not. We consume. If they shit was whack, we wouldn't fuck with them, you know? People stopped fucking with Eminem when he got clean because the music wasn't as dope to them as it was when he was fucked up. That's sad, but that's the truth of it. You know, Mary J. Blige, when you talk about the best Mary J. Blige, you probably talking about when she was on drugs and dealing with an ain't shit ass nigga. You know, it's not good that we associate that stuff with what makes music good, but that's the truth. You know, Amy Winehouse, like so many people, it's just like, oh, they was going through something on that. And then the second they like, oh, I got a good man taking care of me, I'm off these drugs, it's like, yeah, I don't fuck with this album, you know.
But this shit too happy.
Right.
But that's what we want everybody to be, including ourselves.
Yep. He says, and the dead Nintendo guy slandering Karen definitely knows what I'm talking about. Emil. Stop putting the premium secrets on the regular feed. What you doing, dog? Really Dark Knight says, is anyone really surprised that Bob Johnson is ready to sell black folks and other people of color down the river, asking us to give Donald Trump a chance? He is just like Trump, man. This is gonna be a long 4 years. Eight if people keep running with the Bernie chasing the racist people. Ugh. Oh, and we watched Kanye's descent. I guess I'm just too old to get pleasure watching it. Yeah, I mean, you know, I was gonna say I don't see anybody getting pleasure, but I don't know. Maybe people are. People are fucked up, but it's definitely no, I don't know, it's no pleasure in it to me. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure there's people out there that, you know, that this is their thing and they want to make jokes. I saw someone say Drake was talking bad about Kid Cudi, and then it was like, yeah, you talking bad about Kid Cudi when your mentor has a mental health breakdown too, now what? And I'm like, wait, the first thing you thought about was rap beef when you saw this shit? Like, oh, we are so fucked up as just human beings. That's such a fucked up place to take it, to just be like, mm-hmm, another notch on the belt of Kid Cudi versus Drake. Like, how did that happen? But that's how it happened.
Those people ain't shit.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I meant to say, Fidel Castro died today, according to the internets. Now he has been killed several times, and it's not been true.
Right, that's why I was like, okay, and I just kept it pushing.
Yeah, he's 90.
They be killing that man off forever.
but supposedly this is real this time. I'll just say this, man. A lot of the discussion around his death seems extremely academic, right, and callous and unempathetic of the people who actually had to live under his regime, the people who had to flee his regime. And I think in a lot of ways, because we saw him offer refuge to like Assata Shakur, because we saw him shaking hands with some black revolutionaries and stuff, there's a want to like defend him or something, or basically say he wasn't that bad. But you know, Kaepernick was wearing a shirt about for Fidel, then he got questioned about it and he said, well, he has a good education system, they have good literacy right over there. And it's like, I don't want to be that callous in my own words, because I do find that to be callous. And I think not everything needs a hot take, not everything needs a hooray or boo. Being a leader is going to be complicated. There's going to be some positive and some negatives, but I've really encouraged people to listen to people that have experienced it and their families that have experienced it, because I think their narrative and their experiences should be first and foremost,
right,
before anybody that really has no experience speaks on it. Right. You know, I saw people talking about, you know, my uncles were killed by Fidel Castro and I'm black. I'm a black Cuban. Fuck you. You know, I've seen other people kind of be like, ha ha ha, touchdown dancing on some like, he dead, you know, and some people being like, you know, right in hell and shit. Then I've seen people, you know, he was a communist and the only thing I learned about him was what Ronald Reagan said was bad about him. You know, like, all I'm saying is I would rather other people talk about it, because I don't know why people feel like you always have to have not just a take, but like you gotta pick a side, and it just don't seem like that kind of thing, you know. It'll be interesting to see what people do say. I've been reading about him and reading up on stuff since his death, with, you know, because there's like these long ass essays and shit. But I have been reading them just because I'm like, oh yeah, let me see what people have to say. And it's complicated as fuck. It seems that for the things that people find to be positive, there's still things that he did that if an American leader did that shit, we'd be like, this is unconscionable. And we would fight against it and we would rally against it and we wouldn't be talking about all this nuance. Some of it was good, some of it was bad. As much as I fuck with Kaepernick, I don't feel the need to rush to defend him on the shit. I kind of hope he finds a way to extricate himself from the situation, because I don't know how he's going to defend Castro and the state-sanctioned murders that he had and then be like, but America in general, there is no nuance. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how he's going to do it. We'll see. But, it's just... it just seems like I've seen a lot of people be really cold about it. Like these people that have experienced this and lived these lives aren't reading your words. Like, they're not here right now. Like, they aren't descendants of people who, you know, came here, or they aren't descendants of people who half their family is still stuck over there and shit like that. So anyway.
Yeah. And just like always, Americans will take anything and quote unquote Americanize it. Like we will be like, yeah, that's your shit, but we gonna make your shit about us. And we just have a tendency to do that, just being American. Everything that happens around the world, some way, shape, form, or fashion has to center around us. And just like, you know, niggas get mad at white folks for doing that, other countries look at us like, hey dog, this ain't got shit to do with y'all. Why are y'all voicing y'all opinion? Why are y'all coming after with race? Y'all didn't have to live here. Y'all didn't have to deal with it. You didn't have to put up with it. And that's kind of funny. Most people that are speaking are very ignorant about Cuba and Cuba American, and even Fidel Castro, even, you know, cause he's 90 years old. He's lived through like 10 presidents, they said, like 8, 9, 10, something ridiculous like that. So for most of us, we know very, very little. You know, you do have people that are highly educated, know the history and all that stuff, but most people who are speaking on these topics do not. That's just like somebody, from another country coming over here and telling us about slavery. Niggas would have a fucking fit. What do you know about slavery? You wouldn't hear. You didn't live through it. You didn't have ancestors. Well, be considerate to these other places. I don't know anything about it, so I'm not speaking on it.
Right. That was the thing, man. So that's all I have to say about it. It ain't, I'm not knowledgeable enough, right, or affected by it enough to be sitting up here telling people what to think and how to think, or having some type of definitive opinion on it.
Right, but like you, I want to educate myself now, because I know that his death will do some kind of shifting or changing, you know. It's going to do something. So, you know, you do need to educate yourself and become a more informed. But I'm not going to go out on social media and cause a platform like I know the answer to tell these people what to do when I don't have to deal with the consequences of the repercussions of this man living or dying in that country.
Yeah, shit is complicated. And like I said, people are reading and hearing your words that were affected by this shit. And, you know, I don't know. It's just... But everybody's got their own words, so maybe people just, you know, if put it this way, a lot of the arguments I saw just seemed mad academic. Like, I read a thing and it said he was good, so he is good, and it was like, okay, if that's that simple to you, but I don't know how I turn to somebody who either fled his regime, or people that lived under his regime, and go, no, but I read in a book. You know what I'm saying? I read an article, so. I know your uncles got killed and drug out in the street, and I know some of them got in prison.
Yeah, I know your land got taken.
Right, but I mean, I heard somewhere on a message board that it's like, nah, man, I can't do it.
Right.
You know,
I just let people speak, and cause it's one of those things where just like people over here want to be heard, they want to be heard too, and you know, they get tired of us, quote unquote Americans. You know, being an American is a privilege. Even, yes, you might be a nigga over here, but you're still in quote, and you're still an American, so you still have some privilege compared to other countries. So when you go over there, and dibbling and dabbling and they shit, particularly if you're uneducated and don't know what the fuck you're talking about, it causes problems.
Yeah. So this just in: Hillary Clinton's campaign says it will take part in efforts to push for recounts in several states. Interesting.
We'll see where it goes, but good.
All right, back to this. The poll was Thanksgiving. Yay, meh, or boo. 58%, yay. 37.5%, meh. And about 4% said boo. Don't even like that shit. I feel you. We had a good Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. We had a really, really good Thanksgiving. I kind of split my time. I spent the first of my Thanksgiving with some of my family that I haven't seen in a while, and it was fun. We laughed and joked. I had a really, really good time. And then we spent the rest of the time with Roderick's family.
Yeah, I had a good time. So I had to see my uncles that be rooting for the Cowboys, so that was good.
Nah, yeah. So, yeah, they had to work.
That would have been awkward. And I won. I only bet like $6 and I won $75 in daily fantasy on Thursday. I was balling.
Yes, you were.
Nothing make you feel more ballerific than watching that money pull in. I don't know what I'm gonna spend all that money on. All 75 of them dollars. Look,
I got beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, lamb, ribs, beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, chicken, turkey, rabbit. Beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, lamb, ram, raw. Beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, chicken, turkey. Beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, lamb, ram, raw. Beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, chicken, turkey, rabbit. Beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, beans, greens, potatoes, greens.
That's right. That's what I'm gonna be spending my $75 on. Me and Shirley Caesar gonna be getting it with the new open mouth Texas Pete.
I know the Texas Pete, not to get off topic, but that Texas Pete thing was tripping me out. I guess people got tired of it, barely squirting at the top. They were like, make this fucking hole bigger.
Yep. Follow the drip. Follow the drip. wait. Gotta tell Leonard. He's excited about us recapping Westworld on, the pregame, and I just need to remind him I've never seen an episode of that. Thank you.
That must be Justin.
Mm-hmm. All right, we had last episode of the week, 13:30, a seat at the Thanksgiving table, Charlie Brown, where we also recapped The Walking Dead. Afro Patterson says Gregory is a drunk, which is part of the reason he has trouble remembering names, even of his own people. He had a drink right before Maggie and Sasha came in the room, and he made gross comments. The evidence is how sad he was to part with that case of scotch. Listen, not the case, the bottle. He tried to keep that one bottle. He was like, can you slide that back in for me? You must not understand it. Slide that back in the box, period. So yeah, Gregory on that shit, dog. Maybe that's, I didn't even pick it up, but yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I don't think I remember people's name either. I was blitzed all the time.
I guess that's one way to show it, and it's probably one way to cope with the Z-Pac. You probably do want to get drunk all the time.
Yeah, that's probably why he didn't go out there and help.
Mm-hmm.
He wouldn't have been of no good. They just sent 3 zombies per one.
Kung-Fucius says, hope you guys had a happy turkey day, gobble gobble. Gregory is shame, but without a backbone. Although he is not wrong for looking after his own, he really doesn't give a fuck about his own, just himself. Also, Rod and Karen, I like your thoughts on how you think Shane would have handled all this, since it seems most people on the timeline seem so sure the group wouldn't even be in this situation if he was in charge versus Rick. Roll my eyes. Okay, first of all, I don't think Gregory is like Shane to some extent, because he don't have no skills. Like Shane has some certified skills, like, yeah, he was a problem,
yeah, because he was an officer, so you know, yeah, kept fit.
So that's one problem, that's where they differ. But that being said, you're right about him being very selfish, very out for self, very much a opportunist, you know, to the point where he's trying to fuck, like, if Shane was still around and he was leading the group instead of Rick, I don't think the group would be as strong, because I think Shane, while Rick goes up to the line and comes back from losing his humanity, I don't think Shane does that.
Shane crosses it, and then that'd have been it. It's been forever out there.
Like, if they show up in Alexandria, Shane's first initiative is to take Alexandria.
Right.
You know, if they run up into Hilltop, his thing is just take Hilltop shit, then fuck them. You know, so let's sneak in here and take it. Like, once he shot Otis, I really feel like it was just 100% apparent that he would easily kill somebody rather than work with them if he decides it's advantageous to him.
Right.
So, yeah, that's how I would look at it. Just, the group would not be better off, because you're only as good as your leader. And a leader that makes people, a leader that will, can't even get the group together, they can't even, like, yeah, that's not a real leader. You know, Rick may struggle to keep the group together, but he always does it. So, like, to some extent, he does listen to his people, even if it takes time. He can be reasoned with. Shane is not one of those people. Uh-uh. Wanga says, when I was watching the episode and they got to that scene, I was like, man, Carl sucks at darts.
Me too at first. Don't feel bad.
Carl Klopps hasn't learned to adjust yet. He probably would have shot Rick last week if he pulled the trigger based on his dart game. Yeah, when Rick came in and he had the gun pulled on two. Yeah, how was he gonna shoot them, you know? Mm-hmm. Down and to the left, I guess.
Apparently so.
Amani says, I might have to watch it again, but the fact that the Saviors could get the whole trap set up really pushes my snitch and Hilltop agenda. They got into the gate, opened up the doors, set fires, and rolled in a car that was already locked, all without anybody hearing it from outside. Houseway, somebody opened up from inside, and dude who plays Gregory is acting his ass off. Yeah, that's true. How did they get all that shit in there? Well, they did say they broke the fence and they couldn't close it.
Yeah, because, and my thing is this, the people are not organized. So odds are, they basically, my opinion, they're designing them to be defenseless. Like, basically, you got woods and sticks and shit. Ain't too much you can do. They're not gonna have nobody, quote unquote, really on watch. Gregory is not organized like that, you know, so it wouldn't surprise me if basically everybody go to bed like normal, get up the next day, and whoever starts the shift just, you know, stands up there and do a lookout. Like, they're not gonna have 24-hour, they're not organized, like, in my opinion, they're not organized like that. So, who knows, they might have just came up there just to see if any, because if somebody was watching, yeah, you're right. If somebody would have been watching, they're gonna be like, hey, somebody's coming, they're here. Like, they could have quote unquote warned everybody. But I personally think everybody just did their normal routine, which is the sun go down, everybody go to bed, everybody go sleep, turn the lights off. Because that's the only way they could have locked everybody in there, because everybody had to be in their homes. You know, because people had to work to get out of wherever they were. So I really think that they broke it down because they know they could. Who gonna fucking stop them?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the point is that it wasn't a lot of noise. They somehow got a car all the way up in there. They got the gate open. Now my thing is, they did mention that the gate was broken. So it and could be that they broke the gate and they didn't need somebody from inside, since they broke the gate, you know. So but still, the point being, I mean, that's a good point. There could be someone on the inside helping them.
That's, you know, true.
Who
that's
knows?
Yeah, that's true. Who may have just been like, or you know what, because of who they are, they might, so who knows, somebody might have been on dude like, y'all niggas open up the door. They opened up the door, set the shit, and kept it pushing. I mean, what could they have done other than open up the gate?
Well, they clearly didn't know. Gregory said they, you know, they didn't know, like, they didn't tell somebody and they opened up the gate. It wasn't that.
Right.
At least if it was, then it was somebody undercover, because they didn't tell Gregory.
Mm-mm.
Anyway, hope, unless Gregory was the one who did it. You know.
Hey, I don't put the shit past him.
Hope y'all had a great Thanksgiving. Eat good and get your nap on. I'm trying to use the Karen playbook and ride out here, bring it, being the cauliflower whisperer. I don't even know what that means. But
buffalo cauliflower was flames.
People did enjoy my buffalo cauliflower.
Mm-hmm. At first, people were like, "Yeah, I don't know about this."
Nobody said that. I don't know what Karen's saying. People was mostly like, "What is this?" When I said buffalo cauliflower, and then it was like, "Oh, I heard about that. I'm gonna try it." And then everybody was eating, and it was like, "It's good."
It was good, but so, it's always good.
I don't know what people, you know. I try to put people on something different. Shout out, man. Let me just say this: Twitter, compared to Facebook, people always shit on Facebook, but let me tell you something, Facebook is so much nicer than Twitter with certain shit. Because, like, you know, I'll put my picture up like, hey, bringing buffalo cauliflower to my folks, just as, you know, kind of like, this is my contribution to Thanksgiving. And for the most part, people on Facebook are like, oh, I like buffalo cauliflower, or, you know, or just like the picture or whatever, you know, the end. I think one dude said something like some stupid shit, and I just went, they ate it, they liked it, there was basically none left at the end. So I've made it before. It was like, you, that seems kind of adventurous to make that. And I was like, no, it's I don't do adventurous shit. I bring shit that I've made before, and then if they like it, they like it. But it's not like I just be like, I never did this, you know.
That's how you get stabbed at Thanksgiving. I'm bringing no experimental shit.
I wouldn't bring it out if it was nasty. I wouldn't bring it out my fucking house. Mm-mm. But I, you know, that's something cool about, you know, cooking something that, you know, you could feed your loved ones and having them enjoy it. And there's also something cool about maybe putting somebody onto something they didn't know they like.
True.
You know, because to me, I thought buffalo cauliflower was a weird fucking idea when I heard it, and I was like, I want to make it because it sounds weird, you know. And then when I made it, I was like, this shit is delicious. You know, I used some sriracha instead of just like buffalo sauce, though. But still, the point being, it was good to, you know, it was good. Twitter is just like, nah, don't bring that. I wouldn't eat it in my house. You get slapped. I'm like, hey, I guess everybody's house is Eddie Murphy's house.
Everybody's the clumps.
Right, everybody's fucking, I forgot. I'm sorry. I don't have the 17 step, you know, recipe for this for you guys. My bad. But yeah, we had a good time. But yeah, it was just something that I noticed. So I was just like, oh yeah, I guess Twitter is kind of weird compared to, you know, your Facebook page, everybody's kind of rooting for you because they're your friend. Twitter is just right. Like people looking in your window judging.
Right, that's what they do. And don't nobody ever come out and say nothing unless it's negative.
All right, lastly, the poll was, will Gregory betray Maggie? Yes, he's out of power but not out of the game, or no, he knows the falling line now.
Mm-hmm. I think he, yeah, Mac even told Sasha, she was like, he dangerous, dog, like she got her eye on that nigga.
Well, 6% say they disagree with you, Karen, he gonna fall in line. 94% say, Karen, you right, that man can't be trusted.
Mm-mm. If he quote unquote do fall in line, it's gonna be problems. He's probably still gonna be plotting. I don't trust that man.
EVE says, of course Gregory will betray Maggie. He's that extra thick skid mark of on white underwear. Ugh. The imagery.
Not the skid mark.
Some harrowing imagery right there. We did have one voicemail for the week. Let me see if I can play that.
Yo, Ryan, Karen, this is Dro from the A. First things first, Karen, I just want to say I appreciate you, I love you, and I appreciate all the stuff that you go through on behalf of just progress. Ryan, I don't know how you deal with people every day. I think that since it's kind of like your job to just be on the pulse of just conversations and what people do day in and day out when it comes to just life, I think that's why you are out here on these streets trying to have these conversations. But I don't understand how you do it as an introvert, as a self-claimed introvert. I don't know how you do that day in and day out, because I get worn out looking at you reading some of your threads where you're making perfectly logical sense and people are not really caring about that. It's all so quick by defending somebody else, but rather than calling out their comments and all the other stuff, man. I don't know how you do this day in and day out, man, but I appreciate you doing it because somebody has to do it. I mean, not necessarily somebody has to do it, but, you know, I appreciate you taking up the torch and doing it for people who really don't want to go out there and do it and have those conversations, because I'd just be like, fuck the people. Okay, you think like that? So why do you think like that? But you do realize this, this, and this? Okay, you still defending that bullshit? Okay, cool. You do your thing. I holler at you. But, Ryan, I appreciate you, bro. I appreciate the amount of time that you put in on this product, and you give me so much, time that gets killed riding in my car in Atlanta to try and get through these streets, man. I appreciate it. I did not forget you. I'm definitely not forgetting Karen. I appreciate you as well. You know, I put that up front. You know, I'm not trying to diminish you, what you do. I appreciate that as well. Y'all have such team chemistry that works so well together. And I appreciate y'all actually being logical, regular black people. Thank you. We're last of a dying breed, because most people think we either cooning it up or we just some country bumpkins that don't have critical thinking skills.
Right.
Stated, run a little long. Thank you. I love y'all. I holler at y'all. Peace.
Oh man, thank you so much, man. Appreciate you, Mud. And we definitely gotta get up and play ball, man. I'm gonna see if I can find out what Justin's schedule is, so we can do something soon. And as far as being an introvert and dealing with the online shit, just sometimes you gotta take breaks. Like, I actually do a lot of shit that it's like a lot of times, like I don't talk about certain things and I don't really put my shit out there for certain stuff. And honestly, it's probably why I block so many people and don't really entertain a lot of conversations when people come at me with some bullshit, because it's wasted energy. It's mm-hmm.
And after a while you see a pattern, and so yeah, you'll begin to recognize it quicker.
Yeah, it could be exhausting, man, you know. And I think the shit that sucks is when people become complete hypocrites about certain shit. Mm-hmm. Like, that, I think that's what sucks more than anything, because it's just like, wait, but I saw you say that you didn't like this thing when another group did it, but it's okay when your group does it, or it's okay when somebody else does it. That's the only shit that bothers me, you know. But at the same time, man, it's never that serious, you know. And there's people out there that just kind of can't wait to like take people down based on stupid shit, like how many Twitter followers they have, and you know how what they think about your life. And that tells you more about them than it says about you.
Yes,
you know what I'm saying? So that's how I feel about it. A lot of times the way people interact with me based on either follower count or who follows me or who's cool with me and shit, that just says more about them than it says about me, because that's not that's not some shit that I'm, you know, that I'm into or whatever. But you know, whatever.
I give Roger kudos too, because he's an introvert and I'm a extrovert, and but on Twitter sometimes it's almost reversed for us to an extent, because he's more vocal and I'm like, nah nigga, fuck that, nah nigga, fuck, like I'm not wasting my time even talking or engaging in stupid conversations, but that's just me.
Yep. And then we got emails. We got a couple emails from people that sent like, hey, check this out. One person, I don't remember their name, but I can't do your email because it was like, look at how these people dressed in my work for Thanksgiving or Halloween.
No, we ain't trying to put
and it was like real people's pictures from their job, like, dressed as like Native Americans and shit. Obviously it's offensive and stuff, but I didn't want to get involved in exposing those people. That's, you know,
take that to HR, baby.
Yeah. Amy writes in, dear Rod and Karen, check out the newsletter statement from Penzi Spices. They are headquartered in Wisconsin too. I was really amazed and happy to see them take a public stance on racism. Love you guys, keep up the great work, Amy. And then in the apparently they have like a newsletter, and they have Cooking Trump's Racism, Penzi's racism update. At Penzi's, we believe it is not the use of tools that set us on different paths from the rest of the animal world. What has set humanity in motion is cooking. In our nearly a million years gathered together around the fire, cooking shaped our bodies and transformed our minds. Cooking unlocked our potential and gave birth to reason, to religion, and to politics and the government. The kindness of tens of thousands of generations of cooks created our humanity, but racism, sexism, homophobia can all very quickly unravel all the goodness cooking puts out into the world. As the voice of cooks, we will never sit idly by while that happens. You may have read Tuesday night's email. In it, it said, the open embrace of racism by the Republican Party is this election is now unleashing a wave of ugliness unseen in this country for decades. The American people are taking notice. Let's commit to giving people a better choice. Our kindness really is our strength. Since I asked you to read my emails, I feel it's only right that I read each of your replies. In sifting through those replies, it was clear that, though not intended, a good number of people seemed to sincerely believe that in my statement, I was calling all Republicans racist. In the emails of those Republicans who voted for someone other than the party's nominee, I sensed genuine pain at having the strength of character to not go along with what was happening, but nonetheless be grouped in with those who were. I apologize for writing something that caused you pain. That is not the person I want to be. You are your party's future, and you deserve my admiration and respect, and your country's as well. For the rest of you, you just voted for an openly racist candidate for the presidency of the United States of America. In your defense, most of you did so without thinking of the consequences of your candidate's racism, because for most of you, the heartbreak and destruction racism causes has never been anything you or your loved ones have had to experience. But the thing is, elections have their consequences. This is no longer 60 years ago, whether any of us like it or not. For the next 4 years, 80% of this country who did not just vote for an openly racist candidate are going to treat you like you are the kind of person who would vote for an openly racist candidate. You can get angry at everyone else for treating you like you just did the thing you just did, or you can take responsibility for your actions and begin to make amends. If you are lucky and younger family members are still coming over for Thanksgiving, before it's too late, take a moment to honestly think about how your actions must look through their eyes. Simply saying, I never thought he'd win might be enough, but if you have the means of leaving a receipt for a sizable donation to the ACLU or the SPLC accidentally laying around where your car to turkey, that might go over even better. Or just do what you do best and volunteer. Through our customer support, we were giving away a lot of Penzi's pepper and pepper with heart. More often than not, those we meet cooking and serving food to feed those in need are Republicans. you really are a good bunch, but you just committed the biggest act of racism in America's history since Wallace stood in the schoolhouse doorway 53 years ago. Make this right. Take ownership of what you've done and begin the pathway forward. Thank you for reading, Bill. Bill@Penzi.com. I mean, that's pretty good, as far, you know, I just think, for most people, there's gonna be some type of capitulation to saying to Republican people, like, I don't think you're a bad person. Mm-hmm. And I don't believe that. I mm-hmm. really do think Republicans, for the most part, are bad people. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, I don't even think as a country we can fight back against Trump or any of this shit until that is recognized as a statement of fact, and that these people do not need to be in charge of anything. Because if it's not, it's like people keep going to Trump because it's like, oh, Trump is the guy who, he didn't have any policies other than just openly being racist, homophobic, blah blah blah.
That's the base of the party.
Yeah, the problem is, name the candidate they would have voted for that wasn't.
Right.
Name the candidate that wasn't. I mean, just because Mitt Romney has nice hair and a suit, it don't make him a better person than Trump when it comes to the same type of attitudes that towards gay people and black people and all this shit. Like, yeah, he's just emblematic of the worst possible qualities with nothing but backing it up. But for me as a black person, I've always believed that they were voting for those qualities anyway. Mm-hmm. I don't think any Republican was ever voting for their financial policies. Mm-mm. Even when they say I'm just a fiscal conservative, they don't believe that. When Republicans had George W. Bush and they had the House and the Senate, they spent more money than anybody ever. Mm-hmm. So it's not that. So that's, you know, like at some point we have to accept the history of this nation is a racist history. It is based on the original sin of slavery. We can't even confront that until people wake up and go, yes, and if you support that, you are wrong and you are a bad person. We can't even get that part done. You got half of the fucking, you know, liberal people being like, we need to court these racist white folks that voted for Trump. The fact that they're doing that already tells me we're just head back on that same cyclical path of, oh, they're not that bad, let's just see if we can get them to vote for us this time. And that's the same shit every time. So yeah, I'm glad that person took a stance. I'm glad that person took a risk with their company and a lot of their customers. But honestly, man, you know, until we're willing to say straight up, hey, y'all motherfuckers are, if not racist flat out, from point A to point B, you are racist. There's no in between. If you're not racist, then you're the kind of person that sits back and lets racism win and try to hide your hand.
Right. You're racist adjacent.
Right. So, you know, it's just.
Yeah. And when you're dealing with people whose lives and deaths and Social Security and Medicaid and Medicare and, you know, their children's future and shit rest on this, I don't have time for that. Fuck you. You're racist. Right. I'm not shifting. I'm not searching. I'm not hunting. I'm not picking to find the diamond in the rough. You're all in the same bag.
Yeah. So, at any rate, you know, I do appreciate them saying something. I'm not, you know, like I said, I'm probably more on the edge of this than a lot of people because I'm tired of, I'm 38, man. I'm just tired of being like, well, let's look at the good in these people. It's like, but that's like, let's look at the good in the people water hosing black people. Let's look good at the people, who, you know, threw rocks at kids who just wanted to go to school. You know, I don't have it in me anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't have it in me to look at that person as a human and say, well, they're just confused or they just want this or that, you know? And it just depends on your social circle. I bet, you know, if you live in most of America, you have a whole lot of Republicans, and the people that run these food shelters and shit, they're religious, they probably are Republican. You know, I get it that to a lot of people, and especially to white people, especially to white people, it's going to be very difficult to think Republican equal bad when, you know, it's almost impossible for you to have a social circle and a family that doesn't have a lot of Republicans in it.
Right.
I mean, we saw from the voting, from the results of the polls, the exit polls, over half. So, I mean, the odds of you being a white person in a family that don't have, you don't have to sit down and break bread with someone who supports Trump, and if they don't support Trump, Trump supports the people that would have been, that were on the stage with Trump trying to say, I'm more racist than him. You know, the odds are very low. You're, to you, what, when I say, fuck these Republicans, you can't help but hear, fuck my grandmama, fuck my granddaddy, fuck my uncle, fuck my cousin. Well, that cousin taught me to play baseball. This, my granddaddy used to take me fishing. It's difficult to have that, oh, that person's not a good person if they can't reconcile the rest of that shit. You know, I'm not even saying this because I'm telling everybody, go home, cuss your parents out and shit. I saw people saying that shit on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Ha ha ha, that sounds great. No conversation's gonna stop this. Mm-mm. These people aren't accidentally racist. It's Mm-mm. just, this is the default setting of the country. So to me, it feels more hopeless than anything else, because I don't expect people to disavow their families. I don't expect you to not love grandpa or whatever the fuck. I don't expect that to happen. That's just how toxic the country's history is, stained with racism, and it'll never be different. It'll never change. Like, today is the best this country's ever been with racism, and next year it'll be better, and the year after that, but it'll never be great for us. It'll never be great for a lot of people, you know? That's just the reality of it. You know, so I just acknowledging that reality doesn't mean I'm okay with it. I'm just acknowledging the truth. So you can't fight something that you don't know the size of it. You can't fight something if you're still in denial about how pervasive it is. And I feel like when I talk like this, a lot of people feel either discouraged or they feel upset or whatever, but it's not about an emotional response at this point. Factually, this is the problem. Now, how do we want to handle it? That's where I'm at with it. So, you know, I mean, like I said, I'm a little bit more militant, I guess, or not even militant. I'm just a little more resigned. I'm a little more resigned to the idea that, yeah, racism ain't by accident. Trump isn't by accident. The other candidates that were up there with him vying for president, they are also racist, homophobic bigots that fucking want to kick all the Latino people out. And if they don't agree with him 100%, they agree with him 97%. So it's like, I can't pretend that the people that were going to vote for any of those people were good people. They're all fucked up for doing that, you know? Meanwhile, the left is arguing over whether or not, you know, Bernie Sanders or Hillary Clinton's gonna save black people. Like, it's just, you know, like, to me, it's like both, it's not like the Liberal Party has this shit together anyway, but so at least with the Republicans and shit, they can all agree on one thing, you know? All right. Next email. Joe writes in, Kanye done ripped me off. Disappointed concert goer. Uh-oh. Rod and Karen, I was one of those fools in Sacramento, California who had 2.5 songs and 20 minutes of petty bullshit.
Aww.
Damn. Sorry. You want to know the weird thing? I ain't even mad. I knew the risk. Lately, Kanye has been behaving even more bizarre than usual. Yeah, I guess. I was thinking about this myself. When you bought the tickets, there's no way you could have known, right?
Right?
But
no way.
I was thinking about this. And y'all let me know if this is, maybe I'll make it the poll. Maybe I'm out on the ledge here. I would rather be at the concert where he had the craziest rant than at the concert where he just came and performed all the songs and the music like he was supposed to. Like, I feel like the concert where he went, like, just off the wall is the concert to be at, because that's the one where you can be like, oh, I was there, dog. He said this, he said that, pulled his dick out, pissed on stage, jumped out and left. Like, I'd rather be that person than to be like, oh, I saw his concert, it went off without a hitch, and it was just like I dreamed. I think I'd rather be at the Meltdown concert, man. I know. I was thinking it too. I was like, maybe I'm just out on a ledge. Maybe most people will, like, just do what the fuck I paid you for. You know, I get it. You know, what I'm saying is antithetical to my money being, it's like I didn't pay for that. That's not what I want. But I don't know. I guess I do want it. So. Sorry, guys. Anyway, he goes on to say, the one thing that actually bugged me was when Kanye said, make America great again. Now, this Trump thing is looking less like trolling and more like some real Ben Carson level shucking and jiving. I wonder if Kanye could hear the thousands of disappointed fans yell, fuck Kanye, as he ran up out of there. I sure hope so. Hey, at least I got confirmation I'm getting my money back, so I still fucks with him. Joe from California.
I don't blame you, dog.
Yeah. Rosalind writes in, 1328 condiments of the world. I'm getting my life from Karen cracking up over that having more roots than Kunta Kinte quote from Coronation Street. Personally, I was not fucked with by that quote, but it did remind me of another quote from a British movie and the book it was based on that cracked me up like Karen. There's a movie based on Agatha Christie novel, Evil Under the Sun, where this white woman played by Diana Rigg, aka Lady Olenna from Game of Thrones, so you just imagine her saying this, in response to an unfortunate incident, she said, well, it's like a black man's left leg. It's not right, and it's not fair. It's racist as fuck, but it still makes me LOL. Brits are the best and the worst. Roz Harris, aka Sirius Moon Knight.
I can see her saying that to whatchamacallit, the queen.
Mm-hmm. Lady Olenna.
Yeah, say that to her arch enemy.
Yep. All right, guys, well, that's it for today's feedback. That was everything. We'll be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. Mm-hmm. Wednesday, our guest will be the Black Astronauts Podcast. They'll be coming through.
Woo-hoo!
So it's been a while since we had them on. Mm-hmm. So they'll be here. And until then, I love you.
I love you too.
Mwah.